You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to the first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We start off strong with the Matinee on Air show with Greg Bach and producer Calvin. Greg talks with the executive director of Serve Wisconsin, Kyle Clower, about AmeriCorps and volunteer opportunities in Wisconsin.
Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your pal, and we are coming to you live from Radio Park here in Racine, along with Calvin B. on the boards right now. If you want to be part of that conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. Where are we live streaming? Well, I'm glad you asked. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we in this house still call Twitter. Still lots coming ahead, including at 10:35 after the bottom of the hour news. We've got an interview with Hellcat Tattoo in Madison, their owners and employees, talking about opening up a shop. It's an all-female run shop. It is wonderful. I talked to them about this. This is a pre-recorded interview, but we're happy to have them on the show today, talking about not only what they do, why they open the shop, but how they are a part of the community, giving service to their community, which brings us to our next guest, talking about service of the community. We are speaking with the executive director of Serve Wisconsin. Kyle Clower is on the show this morning. Kyle, welcome so much for being here. We really appreciate your time. And how are you doing today? Let's start there. Let's start with an easy one. How are you doing today?
Doing great today. Thank you so much for having me on this morning and giving me the opportunity to share about the wonderful work that our programs do across the state.
Excellent. Well, let's start right there. Tell us about Serve Wisconsin, its mission, its history. Tell us about what you do with this organization.
Sure. Thank you so much. So Serve Wisconsin is the common name for the Wisconsin National Community Service Board. We were created in 1994. And what happens is when the U.S. government created the AmeriCorps program in the 90s, it had come out of a kind of bipartisan history of President George H.W. Bush had his 1,000 points of light and a national service focus. And then during the early parts of the Clinton administration, they created the what's now known as AmeriCorps. And so when they did that, each state, the goal was for each state to create a commission to help in the administration of the programs, to help with the selection of the programs, because we would best know what local needs are and what's going on in our communities versus having everything come down from one national program. So what we do is we help administer and do the monitoring and support for AmeriCorps programs throughout the state, and then have the other mission of just promoting volunteerism service in general throughout communities.
And so that I love hearing that, because like AmeriCorps is you know, speaking of, I have some friends who've done AmeriCorps. That's a, you sign up. Can you give us, I don't allow me to butcher the mission of AmeriCorps. Can you tell us what AmeriCorps is? I feel like that's a word that's very much in the common language, but it might not be something everybody understands as far as volunteering versus this is a program you signed up for and it's opportunity for growth and learning throughout the country.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of people are familiar with the Peace Corps created in the 1960s, where you go and you commit to do service abroad for a few years. With AmeriCorps, the creation is you're doing dedicated service at nonprofits, the goal of helping communities improve in a variety of different ways. So when you're doing AmeriCorps, people think of young people that sign up to do a year of service and sometimes a year more, where you might be doing tutoring in a school, you might be doing conservation work, building houses, helping at health clinics, doing these pieces. And really, it's a program for folks of all ages. Well, folks that are throughout life in the middle of changing careers, that have retired and want to still give back and want to do something on a more long-term basis. And so you commit and you're serving with an organization. You are receiving a living allowance while you're serving. At the end of your service, you're eligible for a Siegel Education Award from the federal government that helps pay for either college tuition or pay off federally approved student loans. And so it's a really structured service program. You'll know, you might say, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve this year and be doing work doing literacy tutoring, or I'm going to serve just a summer term up at Easter Seals Camp in the Dells, helping kids and adults with disabilities have an accessible summer camp experience, or I'm going to be doing a conservation crew. So it's, there's a ton of different things you can do, but it's that piece where you're giving a dedicated period of your time and you're making a difference in community through these different organizations.
Really quick, Kyle, you said this is an opportunity available to people of all ages?
Yes. So with AmeriCorps, people often think of it as just younger folks.
Yeah.
There's one national program that travels the country doing a lot of like disaster recovery and conservation work. That one is dedicated just to 18 to 24. But every other program, if you are 17/18 or older, you can serve and do. And so we'll have folks that may be retired teachers that want to retire full-time from the classroom, but still want to be actively working with students day to day. And so they'll do literacy tutoring or math tutoring or support there, or folks that are doing something else and they want to serve at different nonprofits.
That I honestly, like, that's mind blowing to me, because as you stated, you know, when I thought AmeriCorps, I, and all my friends who did AmeriCorps were all in college, and I thought, oh, that's a 18 to 22 year old thing. And it's, you know, it's, it, and it's great. And it serves a purpose, but I didn't know. And I think that's important for the listeners to hear right now is that, you know, especially for retired folks, there can be a place of, all right, I'm retired. Now what? You know, I'm not, I don't want to sit in my house all day, but these are programs they can take part in if they want to be of service in their community using, you know, maybe retired teachers or something like that, using their expertise to help others. That's fantastic. And I could talk about that all day long. What is the state of AmeriCorps right now in Wisconsin? I'll touch on it very briefly just because I never want to make these kind of conversations political, but the facts are what they are. We had, there was funding problems with the federal government. The governor of Wisconsin awarded, I believe, $9.3 million. Where are we at right now with AmeriCorps in Wisconsin as far as funding and just the mission overall?
Yeah, so I'll give you kind of a background. So the $9.3 million is federal funding that the governor announced. So our board is appointed by Governor Evers, or there we have some members who are appointed by Governor Walker as well. So our board is a board of community members across the state that represent different backgrounds and interests of, from the service community, the business community, from education, other places. And so that money came to support 20 different AmeriCorps programs that are doing work in counties throughout the state, as well as supporting our Volunteer Generation Fund grant, which, so our AmeriCorps programs are those programs I just talked about, people are out doing that active service. Our Volunteer Generation Fund, we often can do mini grants and small grants to nonprofits to help support volunteerism in general throughout the state. And so that's another piece that's another part of our mission. Most of our mission focuses on those AmeriCorps programs, but that's another component as well.
Now, if you're just joining us, by the way, we are speaking to Kyle Clower, the executive director of Serve Wisconsin. We're talking about what Serve Wisconsin does for the community, for Wisconsin, the AmeriCorps program. But now I want to let's shift for a moment away from AmeriCorps. And there is also with your group, just opportunities to find ways to volunteer in their communities. And what do people do to find those opportunities? And maybe what are the things that people maybe face challenges in deciding how to give their time? And, you know, how do you help people with those decisions and find the right place for them?
So one of the pieces we do is we partner with the United Way of Wisconsin, and there is a website called volunteerwisconsin.org. And it'll just full written out. You can go there, you can find, and then what happens is all of the local United Ways and volunteer centers, any volunteer project organization that wants to post projects where they need volunteers or where they are, people can actively then go look to find service opportunities, can go there and they can match up and find those opportunities. Because that's the real pieces. There's the folks that are able to give a long-term project, that service, but there's also people that may have a particular interest. Maybe they really care about work with animals or doing food security or helping people with housing insecurity. Mm-hmm. And you can go in and you can look up exactly, search the county you want to go to, search the date you're looking for, and find those opportunities. And that's a big part of our goal, is just to find how do you promote the opportunity to serve and make a difference, whether it's through one of our programs or just a local one-off community opportunity.
Yeah. We have a wonderful senior producer here. Tucker is our senior producer, and he is a former AmeriCorps member himself. And I want to ask this on behalf of him as they put in our notes. You've already spoken about the benefits of what you do to the state. Are there programs, are there things that are needed more? There are services that are needed more through volunteering that, you know, the state could use people's help on that you're really seeking out to fulfill those roles that people can listen now and maybe reach out and give their time and expertise towards? Is there something that you like, we were looking for this, and if you can help, please do so.
I think as far as our program is concerned, we're always looking for folks throughout the different programming. I wish there was something direct, but if you're interested in education, you want to try to make a difference in student lives, we have programs throughout the state that are doing literacy and math tutoring. If you are passionate about outside, there are folks that we have multiple conservation crews and we're looking for folks.
Yeah.
We have folks that are, I think you said you're in Racine, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have folks that are serving at the Racine Zoo doing then science education in schools all throughout the Racine area. And so it really can depend on, it's finding that interest where it's not like that. It's if there's something you want to explore, it's also a good way to get that background experience. Because one of the great pieces about AmeriCorps, especially for folks that are just out of high school, just out of college, is you can take on a challenge in a service area there. Maybe I want to be a teacher. We have a lot of folks that want to go into the medical field that'll serve in clinics for a year, people that want to do other pieces. And you find that way that you can explore the piece. You get a lot of leadership training and other training and a lot of hands-on experience that lets you figure out, this is what I really want to do. Or I know that's what I thought I want to do, but this isn't the field I necessarily want to do. I want to go this direction instead. And so it becomes a great way for doing a lot of career development as well.
I think that's fantastic too, because, you know, especially in today's day, well, no, honestly, Kyle, it's not even today's day and age. It's the age old thing of, I can't get a job without experience. I can't get experience without a job. And these are maybe opportunities where you can find that experience. And then one, you're giving back, which is fantastic, but also it can go on a resume. And I think too, it allows, especially when we're talking about young people, that opportunity to find out what they really want to do. And this is a far separate conversation, but I feel that, you know, 18 is a very young age to tell a child or insist a child say, hey, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? AmeriCorps volunteering can give you that opportunity to find your passion and your love. I mean, a friend of mine joined AmeriCorps and he signed up for Habitat for Humanity. As far as I know, he still works for them years later. So there are those places and opportunities to really find your heart and passion. And if it's rooted in volunteerism and it's rooted in service, I think that's all the better. And Kyle, I will put Serve Wisconsin as well as Volunteer Wisconsin in our show notes today. So if anybody's listening and they want to check it out, they can go to civicmedia.us/shows. We're still posting under Matt and Air on Air for now. That'll be changing soon. But you can go there and find links to find out more about this information, whether you want it for yourself, pass it on to a loved one. But this is really, it's community-based, but it's also goal-based, and it really can help people get out there and help and learn for themselves. But we have a very special day coming up next Monday. Dr. Martin Luther King Day is coming up, and we're going to speak to Kyle on the other side of the break of what that means for the country, but also what it means for service, what it means for you and how you can be a part of that day and what it is intended as far as being part of your community. But more on the way with Kyle Clower. I cannot talk today, Kyle. It's not your name. It's all me today. Kyle Clower is the executive director of Serve Wisconsin. We're going to be talking more about being a part of your community and servicing your community on the other side of the break. If you have any questions, comments, no complaints. Who complains about volunteering? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC is the number. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Mid Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. Stay tuned. Stay close.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Max Inc. with Terry Barr. Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter Trapper Shep puts real-life stories to songs. Terry talked with him for Max Inc. Radio to learn how Elvis and Bob Dylan have strange connections to Wisconsin and the way Trapper created those songs.
Bay Beach, the tickets are like a quarter. Inflation has not hit Bay Beach.
It's a community-owned and operated amusement park in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that is home to all these classic rides. So it's like the Tilt-A-Whirl, bumper cars. But, you know, it's not old-timey as like a nostalgic ripoff. It's like old-timey because they just haven't changed it. And then the park is most famous for the Zip and Pippin. It'll zip you to the left, zip you to the right, zip and Pippin wanna ride with you on Saturday nights. And 8 days before Elvis Presley died, he famously rode the Zip and Pippin from 1 in the morning until 6 in the morning, where the Zip and Pippin previously was in Memphis. There's this point in the Zip and Pippin when it reaches the top, when it would kind of stall, and Elvis actually hopped off the ride and stood on the top of the Zip and Pippin, and then the ride came to the end and he wasn't on it. So they say the pills killed Elvis, but I think it was the Zip and Pippin, Terry.
Oh, man. What a story. And the thing is, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's they moved the Zip and Pippin from Memphis when Libertyland, the park that was there, closed. So they moved it to Green Bay. The city of Green Bay bought it. It's cool. It's like really withstood the test of time. And I think that's what makes it charming.
I like this one line in your song that is, now that I'm older, 6'1".
Yeah.
I'm going to take this ride and have my fun. And that just makes me laugh when I hear that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. That whole album is like, it's about an amusement park. It's kind of like cheesy, but in the fun way.
The other Wisconsin thing, can we talk about the Bob Dylan song?
Of course we can, Terry.
Oh, my goodness. And when you hear On Wisconsin, when you sing it, it kind of gives you goosebumps.
It's hard to believe for me. To the listeners that don't know the story, when Bob Dylan was 20, his last stop before New York City was Madison, Wisconsin. Bob Dylan became the biggest folk singer in the world. The day he went into the recording studio to begin work on his first studio album, he wrote a song called Wisconsin, and it did not appear on his first album. 57 years later, I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see this article that says the lyrics by Bob Dylan about Wisconsin up for auction, $30,000. And I'm like, yo, I can't afford that, but I could probably finish the song, and I put it out there on the World Wide Web, and Rolling Stone takes notice, Billboard takes notice, and then Bob Dylan's lawyers take notice. They sent me a message. I got that little ding on my phone.
Yep.
That would change my life forever, and it was just like, would Trapper Shep be interested in publishing if I would be down with having a song published with his Bobness? And of course, I said yes immediately. The song is really beautiful, about this drifter character who's dreaming of his creature comforts back home in Wisconsin. But the lyrics, just so your listeners can hear, they're like, yeah, Wisconsin is a dare state. Guess you all know it well. I was in Walwood, Tulsa. The truth I will tell, it's a milk and cheese and cream. Yes, I've known it all my days. And I'm going to Wisconsin. I'm leaving right away. So it's kind of cool.
Fascinating. I love that story.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, since my heart ain't glow, I'm a coming to that state and my heart's beating fast. And I'll jerk my banjo gently, twiddle my mustache on Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, calling me that way, on Wisconsin. Stay. Those thoughts I left there long ago, ones are coming now, it seems. I'll tune my banjo in the hills and feast on milk and cream. And I'll stamp my foot through the grass and I'll never know or care. Yes, my home's in Wauwatosa and I'm going there on Wisconsin. City ways are driving me insane to drink. My home's in Wisconsin. It's a better place, I think. I have been in California and I've been all around. But my home's in Wisconsin and I'm gonna own this town. On Wisconsin. On Wisconsin.
Sync Radio is Wisconsin's local music radio show originating in Madison and featuring music, interviews, performances, and premieres of Wisconsin artists. You can listen to them every Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. and listen to music made right here in Wisconsin.
I might as well stay.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Civic Media Mornings with Brian and Jamie. Lucas Malloy, an organizer of the Wisconsin Beer and Cheese Fest, joined the show to preview the event. He shared his insights into the many brewers at the event, as well as some stats about how much cheese it takes to put on the event.
7:35 right now. Okay, I got to stop for just a second. Thank you, Boyquarium, because even if you're just a boy today, not the Quarium, because we're missing half the Boyquarium. Yeah. They pulled out this song for me. I requested it. Yeah, I love this song. The lyrics are bad. It's like the lyrics are not great, I'm telling you. However, it's like, you know, she had some sort of, well, the Beatles spent most of their late career smoking too many things, and it worked for them. But anyway, thank you for that. My name is Jamie Martinson. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, Civic Media Mornings. And, of course, I am joined by Brian Noonan.
Yes, I'm Brian Noonan. As Jamie said, I don't know why I repeated it. I'd just like to get my name out there because I'm an egomaniac.
Well, I took over because I heard a song and it made me excited. So there you go.
You were all jacked up in your old music jock mood. You were going to give us time and temp three ways.
That's right.
Talk it up to the post. It was very exciting.
Gosh, yes.
I am excited, and I may change my plans because if you like beer, and if you like cheese, welcome to the club. You need to be at the Alliant Energy Center Saturday from 2 to 6 because the 16th annual Beer and Cheese and More Fest is coming to Madison this week, presented by Brothers Malloy Events. Lucas Malloy is one of the organizers, and he is with us today. Lucas, first of all, Brothers Malloy Events, this is your guys' first year running this event. It's been, as we said, this is the 16th annual. You guys took it over. How did it go taking on such a huge event?
Well, first off, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
It's always fun taking over a staple in the Wisconsin community. Beer and Cheese has been around, like you said, this is our 16th year. And being able to carry such a rich tradition of craft beer and local cheese, which is what Wisconsin's known for, has just truly been an honor. And we're excited to make it happen on Saturday.
Now, this is an event that's going to have, and I know, Brian, this is where you get excited based on your moonlighting activities. But there's going to be hundreds of local craft beers. There's going to be cheeses that you can sample because, as you said, Lucas, this is what we're known for. So tell us how this event works a little bit before we get into some of the specifics.
Yeah, 100%. So there's two components from a ticket holder standpoint. We have our VIDs, which is very important drinkers. Those guests will gain access 1 hour before our GA folks. So they get in at 1 o'clock. They're going to get access to 60 premium specialty pours before the GA folks come in. They'll have a VIP lounge that they can lounge and just sit back and watch everybody else as they do their things. And a custom curated menu for them to indulge in during the event as well, because they couldn't eat enough cheese. The second component, the GA, there's going to be about 3,000 GA guests who come in at 2 o'clock. And you hit it spot on, Jamie. They're going to enjoy beers from our 83 craft brewers from across the U.S. We have 12 cheesemongers, 2,400 pounds of cheese for people to sample. And I guarantee
you. Wait. Did you say 2,400 pounds of cheese?
2,400 pounds of cheese. Wow. Just a sample. So we're still going to have more than that.
Holy moly.
And it's all going to be gone.
It's going to be, it is.
Going to want to chew it up.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, Lucas, Jamie mentioned, yes, I am a beer. I'm not an aficionado. I don't know everything about beer, but I love beer. I host Crafty Brewers podcast. There's a shameless plug. We'll get it in there. How difficult was it to get brewers from across the country to come to Madison? Or after 15 years, they know this is a premier event, and they're obviously a lot of them are showing up.
Yeah, I think the event name carries some weight, having been around for so long. And then just developing those relationships. I mean, every brewer talks to other brewers throughout the U.S. They do collabs. And then it's really developing solid working relationships with distributors like Wisconsin Distributors, General Beverage, Frank, Beechwood, the list goes on. But they represent so many fantastic brands, not just in Wisconsin, across the U.S. And I know you and I spoke about it earlier, Brian, like Jester King from Texas. You wouldn't expect a Texas brewery to be in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you've got Jester King. Give us another couple highlights of things. Obviously, New Glarus is going to be there. A lot of local Wisconsin breweries are going to be here. Great Wisconsin breweries. But who are some of the other highlights that are coming from a great distance?
Yeah, we have Martin House. They're also in the Texas market, so that's a big player. Fair Isle out of Washington. We go all over the place. That's have mead. If you guys aren't familiar with mead, that's one of my favorite choices of alcohol to consume.
Explain to folks what mead is.
So mead is an OG. It's like a honey-based wine before wine was even a thing. And it's known as being more sweet, but the predominant ingredient is honey.
Yes. I've actually had mead, and I always equate it to a little bit more of like a cider type thing. But it's delicious because when you try to explain to mead to people what mead is, it's hard to explain. So it's I don't know. It's always had a little bit thicker consistency, and I'm assuming that's because of the honey, right? I mean, I'm not as experienced in the beer world as the two of you, but
I always feel like a pirate when I drink it.
Love that. Now, besides, sampling all these amazing beers and all these amazing cheeses from around the state and around the country, there's some games that, the website, I love this. The website says that you can trash talk over, which is what you should be doing. Yes. But tell us some of the other activities. And I think we've got to get into some of these games because I don't know a couple of these and you didn't either, Brian. So, Lucas, right. tell us what else we can do.
Yeah, I mean, from a game standpoint, we have Stein relay races that speaks for itself. You're carrying Steins through a developed course from our team. Stein hoist, you could go up against me as the house champion, trying to see how long you hold your Stein out. Yeah. And then my favorite is the Spanish long pour. So the concept of the Spanish long pour is taking like a 750 milliliter bottle, starting with it next to a stein, and then it's gradually separating the two to see how far you can have that bottle above your head and how low the glass can get without you spilling any of the water or product on the ground itself.
Oh, okay. That sounds fun. That sounds like strategy involved. That sounds super fun. Is there a reigning champion for the Spanish long pour?
Not yet. This is the first year of that event, so it could be you guys if you join us.
Oh,
that would be fun.
I'm not very tall. I wouldn't get very far. I'm just saying, I'm only 5'1". I think somebody's going to beat me pretty easily on that one. But it does sound like a lot of fun. Now, also, there's something that I don't know what it is. And so, again, my beer prowess is not great. So I need you all, Lucas and Brian, to educate me. What's a pretzel necklace? I don't know.
So a pretzel necklace, yeah. I mean, feel free to chime in, Brian. It is the swag of the event. So when people come in, that's what the royalty looks like. They have a string around your neck with what you would imagine, pretzels. You can use any variation of pretzels. Mm-hmm. But the wild people, they bring meat sticks. They put Fruit Loops, bags of cheese curds. Like, you can put any kind of cuisine you want on the string.
Wow. I
usually put a couple of chomps on there, a couple of cheese sticks, a lot of pretzels. And then, because sometimes I like a little sweet, like a fun-sized Snickers bar.
Oh.
Put that up, mix it all up. I have a whole buffet. It's like a charcuterie board around my neck. But it's fun. And you see those everywhere. You know, the first time I went to a beer fest, not Wisconsin Beer and Cheese Fest, which you should go to this Saturday at Alliant Energy Center in Madison. It is the 17th. You can go to the Wisconsin, just Google Wisconsin Beer and Cheese Fest and get your tickets for Saturday. But the first time I went to a beer fest, I was like, you, Jamie, I didn't know. I was like, look at those people wearing pretzels around their neck. And now I do not go without them.
I mean, I have to say, Lucas Malloy is joining us. He's the organizer of the Wisconsin Beer and Cheese Fest. I have to say, Lucas, that anything that sounds like I can put a Snickers, a pretzel, any charcuterie board, as Brian so eloquently put it, around my neck, sounds like a place that I want to hang out. I'm just saying. I mean, this sounds like a place I want to hang out. What other activities are going to be happening? I'm going to assume that maybe we can, you know, besides beer, besides taste testing beer and cheeses and some games, what else will be taking place this weekend at the Alliant?
Yeah, 100%. So we love our entertainment as well. We're doing kind of a busker style environment versus one main act. So around the event site, you're going to have an electric violinist. You're going to have a one-man walking band from the UP. He walks around with a drum on his back with a harmonica, the whole nine yards. We have Alf horn players. Those are 12-foot-long horns coming up from Chicago. And our crowd favorite is always Silent Disco. We have two DJs spinning for Silent Disco, and one of them, her name is DJ Shotsky. She DJs polka music.
She's great.
DJ Shotsky, she's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing having her doing that and just seeing people dancing polka music with no music out loud.
And Lucas, people will say, I love beer and I love cheese, but sometimes I need something else to eat. You will have other food vendors there, correct?
That is correct. Just in case you don't want cheese at a beer and cheese fest, we'll have six food vendors where you can purchase food for sale. We'll have a couple other specialty food items like craft salt, chocolate. There's going to be a couple surprises for those who attend the event.
Very, very nice. And for I know the VID tickets, the very important drinker tickets, that is sold out. But other tickets are still available for this weekend's event. So can you give us price points and how to get those?
Yeah, 100%. The price point for the tickets this weekend is $65. Check us out on beerandcheesefest.com. It's the same on Facebook, Instagram, Beer and Cheese Fest. We'd love to have everybody join us.
Very nice. And logistically, now the gates, it opens at 2. How early would you recommend people start getting in line? Because I know it gets a huge turnout every year.
Yeah, you can get there as early as you want. We're going to do our best to get everybody inside out of the frigid temperatures because it doesn't look like it's going to be a hot day. But bear with us. We'll get everybody in the vestibule, the lobby, before you enter, and make sure you all have a great time.
Now, I have to say, before we let you go, we just have about 2 minutes here. I'm watching our young producer, Parker's face, as we're talking about all of this. Parker, 22 years old, any questions you may have for Mr. Malloy this morning? Because I'm seeing the excitement on...
I got to be honest, Brian got me really excited with the idea of the Snickers around your neck. That's kind of been my highlight so far.
Awesome.
You got to have a little something sweet. Lucas, before we let you go, you put this together. You've seen the Brewers. You've seen the Cheesemongers. Is there a pairing that you're looking forward to? Maybe it's Jester King. You said you like that. Is there a cheese and a beer that you can't wait to put together?
Honestly, if I was attending, there's not a bad option. All of these cheeses, all of the beers, not to be that person, but you can't go wrong with anything that you're going to try at this event.
Awesome.
Nothing wrong with being that person.
No, I think we all need to be that person because this is going to be a good time and all the options are going to be available. That is Lucas Malloy. He is the organizer of the Wisconsin Beer and Cheese Fest that takes place this Saturday, 2 to 6 at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. So make sure you check that out. Brian and Lucas were talking about it. The temperatures are going to be cold. So I don't know. Beer, cheese, indoors. I don't think there's really a better way.
Long pour.
I don't think there's a better way to spend a Saturday, quite honestly. On it, like, what else do you have going on?
Listen to Civic Media Mornings, weekdays, 6 to 8, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To finish off the first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight, we have the Chad Holmes Show. Chad talks with one of the Democratic candidates for governor, Mandela Barnes.
It is the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. This morning, hearing an interview that myself and Isabella Nieto were able to conduct yesterday afternoon during a visit to Wausau by one of the Democratic candidates for governor, Mandela Barnes. He was in Wausau for an event and then stopped by our studios to record a discussion. And Isabella started off with the next question.
And more to the rural economy as well. You know, in Wisconsin Rapids and around central Wisconsin, we have paper mills that are closing. What would you as governor do to kind of bolster the rural industry to kind of replace some of those jobs that we're losing due to the paper mills closing?
So paper mills, I just had a roundtable discussion about healthcare. We know how many rural healthcare centers, rural hospitals that are closing. And for us to be able to create an economy that works for everybody, I look at industry, even, you know, where I'm from in Milwaukee, the factory that my grandfather worked, you know, after he served in World War II, moved to Milwaukee, worked at A.O. Smith. That plant doesn't exist anymore. Where my dad worked on an assembly line, that factory doesn't exist anymore. And the idea that places like that close because of greed, they move those jobs overseas. And, you know, paper is a different industry, but, you know, where my dad worked, where my grandfather worked, those jobs were moved overseas. The operations didn't shut down. We also had some issues with automation as well, which is very parallel to what we're seeing with AI. But what I do believe is that we can spur new businesses, small businesses, local businesses. We have to invest in Main Street the way that we see, you know, larger cities invested in as well. We got a lot of folks who come to areas like here in Wausau for recreation opportunities. The governor just put out a press release, talked about how much money, you know, in tourism and recreation is generated. I believe we can do that even more. I believe that Wisconsin can be a recreation capital of the world. I've talked to a lot of people from out of the state who visit here often, whether they fish in our trout streams that are unfortunately dealing with the impact of climate change because those streams are warming. And if those streams continue to warm at this rate, those trout won't have a place to spawn. That's another sector of our economy that will be completely lost. And so while I can't just sit here and, you know, govern by edict and say this will be the industry, but I do believe that, you know, as we can go back to the last conversation about clean energy, we should be manufacturing more of those parts, those solar panels. We should have more manufacturing opportunities for those right here in Wisconsin. Our windmills, thousands of components in a single windmill. Those are all parts that should be assembled and manufactured right here in Wisconsin. And where we see one industry go away, like, you know, like paper mills, we can easily, I won't say easily, but we can, you know, more seamlessly replace those industries with emerging ones.
I know you're limited on time, but I got one question. I think Isabella has one more question, just so you know. And I want to kind of touch on, you mentioned the fact about healthcare. And there's so many layers to it, but I'm going to ask you this time around. I hope in the future we have more opportunities to talk because there's so many issues.
I would love the opportunity to talk again.
But I want to ask you about here in the year 2026, and you mentioned, and I think so many people know about the hospital closures in parts of western Wisconsin and the fact that there are people that live in rural areas that have to go multiple hours in order to get health care. A number of years back, just a few years back, I got sick. I'm lucky. Here in Wausau, we have hospitals, and I was in a hospital for a week. And there are people that are having babies or getting sick, and they have to go multiple hours to get health care in 2026. You said it. You can't govern by edict. But put your hat on. What would you try to lead the state? What direction in order to change that? Because, again, it just seems to be, frankly, ridiculous that we're in this situation.
It is absolutely ridiculous that we're in this situation. God forbid you're in certain parts of the state and you need to get to an emergency room. God forbid you're an expecting mother who needs to get to an appointment. And one of the things I've been talking about throughout the entirety of this campaign from day one is my day one pledge to expand Badger Care in Wisconsin. It's not as if there aren't people who need to use these clinics or visit these hospitals. It's the fact of who can, who is insured, who can go to the doctor without worrying about a surprise bill that continues to be a barrier, continues to be an impediment for people who want a basic checkup. And God forbid that checkup leads to a diagnosis, or God forbid you end up, with a slip and fall that can happen to any of us. I had a story in Green Bay, a woman who had a slip and fall, was not eligible for Badger Care, was not insured, had a tough time, racked up bills, went into debt, was no longer able to stay in her home. So we're talking about just completely devastating, destabilizing instances that are all too often somebody's reality, or even, you know, medical bankruptcy. And that's why expansion of Badger Care is a number one. It is a day one priority of mine. I've said it once. I'll say it again. I'll say it till we get to inauguration day and the legislature is in their first session. And I'm not, just campaigning to become governor. I'm campaigning to get a majority in the assembly and in the Senate. I am running for governor to ensure that we have an active majority and an administration that governs with absolute urgency. And I've said that we will not, I will not sign a state budget until Badger Care is expanded in Wisconsin. And we're going to fight to even get a public option for Badger Care so that people who are priced out of the market have an opportunity, because, 133% of poverty is not a lot of money. 150% of poverty is not a lot of money. 200% of poverty is still not a lot of money. So for those folks who are in that gap, they need to have affordable health care options. And this will remain my priority, because if people are insured, they're going to go to those doctor visits. And this is how we keep our rural health care, our rural clinics open.
We will have a final few minutes and a couple of more questions for Mandela Barnes, candidate for governor on the Democratic side, former lieutenant governor and former candidate for the United States Senate. So that's coming up after an information update here at the bottom of the hour. I am Chad Holmes. Glad you could be with us. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip, in the outskirts and in the fringes.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.